twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watch, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say
Mike will have the yellow one when we sing. Okay, forgot to tell you that. Well, welcome this morning. It's good to see everybody that's here. Glad to have you with us here in person. Glad to have you there with us online. If you missed yesterday, you missed a wonderful service with our time of prayer for our nation. But we do have some of those resources we'll talk about in just a moment that are here and available for you this morning. Want to welcome everybody on our social media platforms. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe. Do all those things to help get the word out there. Also, welcome to those on our phone live streaming. If you know somebody who doesn't have access to the internet and would like that, please see me after service. Give us a call at the church office. We'll be glad to share that with you. If you are here in person this morning, make sure you got one of our bulletins as you came in the doors. They're the doors as well as this way. They're in the windowsills. Be sure to grab one of those. You can find that online at highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's just over under the info tab there. You can get that downloaded. Our children's worship bulletins are there also, one for ages 3 and up, one for ages 7 and up. Those are in the windowsill to my right here in person. And then also our prayer list is under that same info tab. Those paper copies are on the table across from the office in the magazine racks. We're, if you'll notice in your bulletin, we have a little bit different order of our service this morning. So we're going to go ahead to some of our other things that we normally would wait a little bit to share. And you'll notice in your bulletins, our missionary of the moment is Harrison Martin. Harrison is serving in Europe there in medical missions through the IMB, so I want to encourage you to read his story there and to be praying for him, as well as praying for our Moldova missionaries as their summer interns are getting ready to depart on July the 9th. So please take time to look at those, and let's go ahead and have a word of prayer for our missionaries. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for how you have blessed us this day. Lord, that you have allowed us to be in this nation that is free. Lord, that we can join together to freely worship. That there are so many other freedoms that we have. And Lord, I pray we would not take those freedoms for granted. We come before you right now, Lord, and call upon you in prayer for Harrison Martin. We pray for him and his medical ministry there in Europe. We pray for our Moldova missionaries, the Meritus there, especially as their summer interns get ready to depart Moldova on July the 9th. Father, we pray that you would just bless them and use what they've learned, Lord, to continue ministry around this world. We pray for a hedge of protection about all of our missionaries, and we ask, Lord, for your blessings to be on them. Lord, we pray that as we come to worship you today, Lord, we are celebrating our 250th birthday of our nation. Father, we thank you because you are the one who has blessed us. Father, you are the one who has granted us grace and mercy to be where we are today. Father, I pray that you will bless this service that it will glorify you, Lord, and honor you through all the songs we sing, through the message that is preached. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, for your will to be done this morning. Bless us in a special way as we worship you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me just remind you also that you can do your online giving with the envelopes that are in the pews in front of you. You can do that at highlandbaptistchurch.com. Also, go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab there, and you can do your giving there for the special offerings as well as for your regular offering. We do have some of the prayer guides that we gave out yesterday as people came for our drop-in prayer service. They are on the bottom steps down here on the sides of the stage. If you wanted to grab one of those, to take one of those home with you to pray for our next. It's got some special things in there that you'll want to especially take note of and to pray for. We do want to encourage you to continue praying for Venezuela and the efforts that are going on there through the local churches, through the many people whose lives have been lost, and pray for their families. Pray for those who are still trying to piece things back together. And so just pray for all of those as well as the rescue workers that are still there searching through the rubble in Venezuela. We do also want to remind you that next Sunday, our youth and children are going to be sharing about their mission, their trips, their summer trips. So we want to encourage you to be here and support them. Pastor Matt is going to be bringing the message along with that. So I just want to encourage you. That is still not the right date on the slide. I didn't get the right one in. But it is Sunday, July the 12th, not the 15th. 15th's on a Wednesday. And that's where my head went to when I was creating it. So anyway, I want to encourage you to be here for that. And then don't forget the end of the month, July the 29th, we have our youth night of worship that's going to be at First Baptist Church of Winchester. So just wanted to remind you of all of that, get all of that out of the way as we get ready to sing our songs. Our choir is going to be singing this morning. You're going to be singing part of that also. We're going to ask your participation in that part of our service. But we're going to ask for you to stand and to sing a hymn with us this morning. So Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us.
So we're going to be doing some patriotic songs as we celebrate 250 years as a country. But in celebration of where those blessings come from, would you stand now and let's sing Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. We know where those blessings come from.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine, we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us thine, we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to Thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to Thee. Early let let us seek thy favor. Early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our beings fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still.
I had one other announcement that I did need to make. It is in your bulletin there that our children's church will be dismissing after the choir sings Forever in Peace, May You Wave in Your Grand Old Flag. It will actually be after God Bless the USA that our children will be gathering for children's church. and sing this next verse with us.
I am the flag of the United States of America. I was born on June 14, 1777, in Philadelphia. There, the Continental Congress adopted my stars and stripes as the national flag. Today, 50 stars signal from my union, one for each of the 50 sovereign states in the greatest constitutional republic the world has ever known. My red stripes proclaim the fearless courage and integrity of American men and boys and the self-sacrifice and devotion of American mothers and daughters. My white stripes stand for liberty and equality for all. My blue is the blue of heaven, loyalty, and faith. I represent these eternal principles, liberty, justice, and humanity. I embody American freedom, freedom of speech, religion, assembly, the press, and the sanctity of the home. I typify that indomitable spirit of determination brought to my land by all my forefathers. I voice Abraham Lincoln's philosophy, a government of the people, by the people, for the people. Americans, I am the sacred emblem of your country. I symbolize your birthright, your heritage of liberty purchased with blood and sorrow. As you see me silhouetted against the peaceful skies of my country, remind yourself that I am the flag of your country, that I stand for what you are, no more, no less. Guard me well, lest your freedom perish from the earth. Dedicate your lives to those principles for which I stand, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. God grant that I may spend eternity in my land of the free and the home of the brave, and that I shall ever be known as Old Glory, the flag of the United States of America.
Thank you.
Pledge of Allegiance to the United States flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation.
Let us, young and old, join together, as did the First Continental Congress, in the first step in humble, heartfelt prayer. Let us do so for the love of God and His great goodness, in search of His guidance and the grace of repentance. Almighty Father, if it is Your holy will that we shall obtain a place and name among the nations of the earth, grant that we may be enabled to show our gratitude for Your goodness by our endeavors to fear and obey You. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Defend our liberties, and fashion into one united people the multitude brought hither out of many kindreds and tongues. Endow with Your spirit of wisdom those whom in Your name we entrust the authority of government, that there may be justice and peace at home, and that through obedience to Your law, we may show forth your praise among the nations of the earth. In time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness, and in the day of trouble, suffer not our trust in you to fail. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as you give us to see the right, let us finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow, and for his orphans. Continue to guide and sustain us in the great unfinished tasks of achieving peace, justice, and understanding among all men and nations, and of ending misery and suffering wherever they exist. For we are given power not to advance our own purposes, nor to make a great show in the world, nor a name. There is but one just use of power, and it is to serve people. Help us to remember it, Lord. God, be with us as you were with our fathers. May you not leave us or forsake us, so that we may incline our hearts to you, to walk in all your ways, that all peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no other. Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you with humility, knowing that we are not a perfect people or a perfect nation. We confess our sins individually and collectively, and we ask you, Lord, to forgive us according to your great mercy. As you promised in your word, may your people humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from wicked ways, so that you may hear from heaven and forgive our sin and heal our land. Thank you for the blessings you have poured out upon the United States of America. Thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy, for the liberty to worship you openly, for the truth proclaimed in our Declaration of Independence, that all people are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We thank you, Lord, for preserving this republic through wars, hardships, trials, and blessings because of your great name. We celebrate our independence today, but even more, we confess our complete dependence upon you for our future. Lord, remind us that while we are the United States, we are also a union of free and independent states, and that every authority ultimately answers to you. Your word declares that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Lord, we pray for you to guide our president, our governor, members of Congress, our state legislators, judges, military leaders, local officials, according to your perfect will. Help us to remember, Lord, that government derives its authority under your sovereign rule and exists for the good of the people. Give us wisdom to pursue justice, preserve liberty, and to seek the common good with patience, integrity, and peace. Lord, renew within us a commitment to biblical truth, to godly character, and moral courage across our nation. Lord, though others may slander us, though fears rise on every side, though there are those who seek to harm us, teach us, Lord, to trust in you alone. Our times are in your hands. Deliver us from evil. Protect those who defend our freedoms, and preserve this nation according to your mercy. Lord, make your face to shine upon the United States of America. Let us never be ashamed to call upon your holy name. Lord, guide us with your eye upon us. Shepherd our nation according to the integrity of your heart, and lead us by the skillfulness of your hands. We thank you, Lord, for those who have sacrificed their lives to secure and preserve the freedoms that we enjoy today. Lord, bless our active duty military, our veterans, first responders, all those who faithfully serve their fellow citizens. And Lord, in this service, as we celebrate America's 250th birthday, may we remember the faith of many of our forefathers who acknowledged your providence and sought your blessings. Lord, make their faith real to us. And help us, Lord, to remain one nation under God, united not just by history or geography, but by a renewed commitment to truth, righteousness, justice, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Above all, we pray that you would send revival across this nation. Revive our churches, awaken your people, save the lost, exalt your Son, glorify your name. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank the Lord above that I'm living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
While the choir is coming down, if you'll go ahead and take your Bibles and turn in them to the book of Romans. If you're going to Children's Church, they are meeting over here on the right. I don't see a whole lot of children that are here this morning, but if there are, that is available for you over here. Give just a moment for them to go. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 through verse 14. I've entitled this message, living like you're alive. You'll understand that as we get into this passage, because that is the issue that Paul is addressing here in these verses, that so many of us, even today as believers, we live almost as if we're still dead, that we're still caught and bound by the sins that are so easily beset us. So let's take our Bibles, verse 11 down to verse 14. Let's stand as we read God's word in honor of his word. Verse 11 begins, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace." Let's pray. Father, may you bless your word this morning. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that your word will go forth and not return void. Use it powerfully in our lives for those who are not yet believers, Lord, that they would trust by faith in Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And for those who are, Father, I pray that this passage will strengthen their walk with you more than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, one of the greatest needs in the Christian life is learning to see ourselves the way that God sees us. You know, many believers know that they have been forgiven, and yet we continue to live as though nothing has changed. We allow yesterday's failures to shape our walk today with God. We know that God has saved us, but we still think like captives instead of children. And that's exactly what Paul is addressing here in Romans chapter 6. He wanted these New Testament believers in the church at Rome to understand that salvation is far more than just forgiveness. It is far more than just, if you will, punching your ticket to heaven. You know, through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been united with him in his death and his burial and in his resurrection. We're no longer the people that we once were. If you've trusted by faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God has given us a new life. He calls us to live in the reality of that new life. This weekend, our nation's celebrating 250 years since the Declaration of Independence was adopted on July the 4th, 1776. 56 men signed a document that changed the course of history. Those men were not just signing a ceremonial certificate, if you will. They were signing what could well have been their death warrants. Many of them lost their wealth. Several lost their homes. Some were imprisoned. Others watched family members suffer because of the stand they had taken. They understood that freedom always comes with a cost. But imagine something with me. Suppose one of those patriots who, one of them had survived the Revolutionary War, and years later, they kept on living as if they were still under the British rule. Imagine them whispering instead of speaking freely, asking permission to do things that they already were free to do, living in fear of laws that no longer governed them. We would look at that person and say, "Why are you living like that? You're free. The war has been won. Independence has been declared. You're living like a citizen of a kingdom that no longer has authority over you." And yet, spiritually, many Christians do exactly that same thing. Jesus Christ has already won the victory over sin. He has already broken its authority over our lives. And yet many believers continue living as though sin is still their master. They live under the guilt that Christ has already forgiven. They live in the fear that Christ has already conquered. There are those who live even defeated, even though the victory has already been won. Paul's message here is clear. Stop living as though you're still under that old master. You have been set free. Live like you're alive. That's what Romans 6, 11 through 14, Paul answers a question that every Christian needs to face. How do we live like the people Christ has already made us to be? Well, one of the things I want you to see from this passage that helps us to live like the people that Christ has already made us to be is that you are to remember who you are and whose you are. Paul begins there in verse 11 again and says, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Now notice that Paul doesn't tell us to become dead to sin. He tells us here in this verse to consider or to reckon, as some versions put it, to ourselves dead to sin. That word means to count something as true because God says that it's true. God's not asking us to pretend. He's asking us to believe what he's already accomplished through Jesus Christ on the cross. And when Christ died on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sins, broke sin's authority over our lives. When he rose from the grave, he made it possible for us to walk in a newness of life. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't ever be tempted. It means that temptation is no longer our master because Jesus Christ is. One of Satan's greatest lies to believers especially is convincing us that you are still who you used to be. He reminds us of our failures, the enemy does. He reminds us of our weaknesses. He reminds us of our past. But God reminds us of the cross. The enemy says to us, "Oh, you'll never change." But God says, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Many Christians are still living like prisoners who have been pardoned but refuse to leave the prison. The doors are wide open, the chains have been removed, and yet we continue living as though we're still condemned. Spiritually speaking, that's exactly what happens when we allow our past to define us instead of the Word of God to define us. And before Paul tells us what to do, he's reminding us here who we are and whose we are. That's God's pattern throughout the scripture. He changes our identity before he changes our behavior. We don't obey God to become children of God. We obey him because we are already his children. I mean, have you ever noticed how easy it is to remember failures and how easy it is to forget God's promises? We often define ourselves by the worst day that we've ever had in our life, while God defines us by the best day when you receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. He defines us by his Son. Our feelings change. Our circumstances change. Maybe you've spent years trying harder to maybe overcome a particular sin. You've made promises to God only to find yourself discouraged again. Understand this. The answer isn't a greater determination, a greater self-will. It is a deeper dependence. Victory begins when we stop focusing on ourselves and we start believing what God says about us. Every morning of every day, you have a choice. You begin the day listening to your fears, your failures, your feelings, or you can begin the day standing on the truth of God's word. If God says that you are alive in Christ, then we need to begin living like people who have been made alive. That's why we've entitled this message, Living Like You're Alive. Because God never intended for us to spend our lives defeated. He calls us to walk in freedom and joy and victory, the victory that belongs to those who have been made alive through Jesus Christ. But understanding who we are does not mean that the battle is over. In fact, knowing who we are and whose we are prepares us for the battle that we face every day. Secondly, that's the second point, recognize the daily battle. Paul continues in verse 12 and verse 13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Now notice here that Paul doesn't say that sin is reigning. He says, do not let sin reign. You see, it's because of Jesus Christ that sin is no longer our ruler. It is still our enemy, though. Every day, sin seeks to regain influence in our lives. And the Christian life is that daily battle over one question: who is going to rule my heart today? Because every temptation asks the question, will I trust Christ or will I follow my own desires? Sin rarely comes looking evil. You know, the devil is an angel in disguise. Sin rarely comes. It usually disguises itself as something attractive. God created desires. He created desires within us for food, for rest, for companionship, and intimacy. But you know what sin does? Sin takes all of those things and twists them into some ugly, perverted mess. It twists those good gifts into selfish pursuits. And what God designed to serve us, sin seeks to make our master. That's why temptation is so deceptive. It always promises satisfaction, but it hides the consequences. You ever see those alcohol commercials on TV? They never show the people passed out and throwing up to say, oh, why don't you buy some? They show the party. They show the friends, so-called friends, who are gathered around you. They always show the things that look good on the outside. They promise satisfaction, but hide the consequences. And it's not just alcohol. There's all kinds of other things. I mean, you want to get real with some of us this morning, even me? What about food? You see the commercials of food? Why do we have to have supersize? Why do we have to have endless buffet? That's what we look for, isn't it? You go to Red Lobster, you're looking for the endless shrimp. It always presents something to us that's satisfying, but it hides the consequences. It whispers, oh, that one little compromise, that won't matter. That one little bite won't matter. That one little drink won't matter. That one bitter attitude is justified. That one careless word won't hurt anyone. But sin never delivers what it promises. It offers pleasure for a moment, but it leaves regret that lasts much longer. James tells us that temptation begins with desire, and when desire gives way to sin, sin ultimately brings death. That's why we cannot afford to treat temptation lightly. Every promise moves us either closer to Jesus or farther away from him. Notice Paul, what he said there in verse 13. He said, don't present your members, the parts of your body, to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God. That's what he's telling us here. The word instruments there could also be translated weapons, our eyes, our words, our hands, our feet, especially our tongue, can either be used for God's glory or it can be used as a weapon that serves sin. Every day, we're presenting ourselves to someone. There's no neutral ground. We either surrender ourselves to the Lord or we slowly drift towards the desires of the flesh. Here's the encouraging truth. Paul would never command us not to let sin reign if obedience were impossible. It is through the indwelling Spirit of God that God has given to every believer here this morning the power to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. The battle is real, but understand this morning. You do not fight the battle alone. Which raises the next question. Where does the power come from for the spiritual battle every day? Paul's answer is simple. It comes from resting in what Christ has already done. Notice verse 11 again and verse 14. One of the greatest mistakes that Christians make is trying to live the Christian life in their own strength. We know that we're saved by grace, and yet we often think that victory over our sin depends upon us. It depends on some kind of self-determination or self-will. We promise God we'll do better. We try to resolve to try harder. Yet before long, we find ourselves discouraged because we're fighting the battle the wrong way. Paul reminds us that victory does not begin with what we do. It begins with what Christ has already done. There's a reason that Romans chapter 1 through 5 come before chapter 6. Before Paul ever tells believers how to live, he explains the gospel. He tells us that we are sinners who could never save ourselves. He tells us that Jesus died in our place. He satisfied the judgment of God against our sin. And he tells us that we are justified by faith, not by works. Only after laying that foundation does Paul then begin to talk about victorious Christian living. That's because the Christian life is never built on us. It's built on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Think about it. When Jesus said from the cross those three words, "It is finished," he wasn't saying that life was over. He was declaring that the work of redemption had been completed. The debt of sin had been paid in full. There is nothing that we can add to what Jesus accomplished on the cross. But the gospel does not end at Calvary. Because 3 days later, Jesus walked out of that tomb alive forevermore. And his resurrection proved that sin had been defeated, that death had been conquered, that the Father had accepted his sacrifice. And so now Paul tells us something remarkable. When we trusted Jesus as our Savior, God united us with his Son. His death became our death. His resurrection became our new life. We're no longer a people that we once were because we're now in Christ. Notice verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. To consider means, as we said before, to believe what God has already said is true. It means that we need to stop measuring our spiritual lives by how we feel. And begin measuring our lives by God's promises. You ever notice how we often do the opposite? We wake up after a difficult week and we think, I just don't feel very victorious today. I just don't feel that great today. We assume that God's truth, and we're not talking about physically there, we assume God's truth depends on our emotions. But our feelings are not the foundation of our faith. The Word of God is. And if God says that you've been made alive in Christ, then that's true whether you feel it or not. Whether you feel strong or you feel weak, whether you feel encouraged or you feel discouraged. Our confidence rests in his promises, not on our performance. And that truth changes the way you face temptation. Because instead of asking the question, can I overcome this? You begin to declare the truth. Christ has already overcome it. Has Christ already provided everything I need? And the answer is yes. And so Paul concludes this section with one of the greatest promises in the New Testament. Again, look at verse 14. He says, for sin, now do you believe the word of God? Notice the word of God, for sin will have no dominion over you.
since you are not under the law, but under grace. Notice he doesn't say sin shouldn't rule over you. He says sin shall not rule over you. That is a promise that God of God grounded in the grace of God. Grace is far more than God's forgiveness. Grace is God's power working in us. The same grace that saves us, strengthens us, teaches us, corrects us, and enables us to obey him. God never commands us to do something without providing what we need to do it. The law could tell us what was right, but it could never do it, it could never give the power to do it. Grace does what the law never could. Grace changes the heart. Maybe you've spent years fighting the same battle. Maybe you've prayed the same prayer over and over, wondering if you'll ever experience victory. Do not place your confidence in your willpower. Place your confidence in your Savior. The hope that you're to have is not found in trying harder. Your hope is in trusting deeper. Every day, remind yourself, Jesus died for me, and Jesus lives in me. He has broken sin's authority over me, so I can trust him to give me the strength that I need today to face whatever this day brings. Christian life isn't lived by extraordinary people. So often that's the way we want to look at the Bible. Paul was some great saint. Peter was some great saint. David was some great saint. It's not lived by extraordinary people. It's lived by ordinary people who have learned to depend on their extraordinary Savior. And once we understand that truth, there's only one reasonable response. We gladly place every part of our lives into his hands, which is what he says in verse 13. In verse 13, he said, present yourself to God. I want to ask you to do that this morning. You may be here this morning and you've never by faith trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What have you been believing about yourself that God never said? Maybe you've convinced yourself that you'll never change. Maybe you've struggled with the same temptation for so long that you just accept it as a part of who you are. But God never asks you to deny the reality of the struggle. He asks you to believe a greater reality. If you are here this morning and you have trusted by faith in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, if you're in Christ, then the Bible says you're dead to sin and you're alive to God. Maybe today the Lord has laid his finger on some area of your life that you've never fully surrendered to him. Maybe it's an attitude that you've had. Maybe it's an improper relationship. Maybe it's a habit, a bad habit, or a hidden sin. Whatever it is, I want to ask you this morning to come to him. Bring it to him. Trust him to do what you can't do in your own strength. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, he invites you to come to deny yourself and to come and to follow him. He died for your sins. He rose again. And he offers forgiveness and new life. And he offers the gift of eternal life to all who will place their faith in him. If you are a believer, don't leave here this morning determined that you're going to try harder. Leave this morning believing God. Leave this morning trusting his promises, depending on his grace, and let the world see the difference that Jesus Christ has made in your life. If God has made you alive in Christ, then live like you're alive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the new life that we as believers have through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that because of his death and his resurrection, sin no longer has dominion over those who belong to you. Father, I pray that you would help us to believe what the Word of God says about us, what the Word of God says about sin, and that we would surrender every area of our lives to your control, to walk every day in the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, strengthen believers this morning where we are weak. Lord, give us victory where we struggle, and let our lives, Lord, reflect the transforming grace of Jesus Christ. But Father, for anyone who is here today or watching online, who has never trusted in Jesus as their Savior, I pray that you would draw them to yourself and give them the faith to believe the gospel and to receive the gift of eternal life. We ask all these things in the powerful and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We invite you to come this morning as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart to come for church membership, maybe to come for to publicly profess your faith in Christ, to follow through with believers' baptism, maybe just simply to pray. As we stand, as we sing, I surrender all. Will you make your way?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Couple of announcements. Make sure you check your bulletins for the ones that I don't mention. Jimmy Gaddis says we'll pick up the flags tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, rain or shine. And see, Brittany Stringfield, I guess, is doing well. And yeah, and prayer works, I guarantee you. So there's no service this evening. There'll be no service. We'll go to the Lord in prayer now. Father, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. And as we bring the 4th of July to a close in celebration of the 250th year of our nation, we're thankful for the freedoms and the help, and help us never to forget, Lord, the reason for those freedoms. They're men and women who laid their lives on the line. Some that, Lord, that gave all. So bless our country and be with those that guide this nation. Help us to always put God first in all that we do and all that we say. Keep our military men and women safe all over the world.